Shabbat Shalom. Today's Parsha, Hey Azina, is in Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 52. And really means listen. Listen, you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on a tender plant. This is was read here, translated. The Lord's teachings. At this time, it was only this much. These first pages right here. That's the word of the Lord at this time when Moses delivered the word. This is all that people know. The rest of this has been comes after this. This word is perfect. This part here. It will produce the intended results. That is, all nations will be blessed through Abraham. Would the Lord give instruction that wouldn't work? What would be gained by that? He would not do that to the people who are his inheritance. The Lord gave the nations of the earth each their possession or their portion. He divided them and set their boundaries. We are all his people. Moses recited this song in the hearing of all the people of Israel at the time, and he taught it to the children. And it's a witness to our generation today as well. It's a prophecy that the people will turn away from God, the rock, and turn to other gods. Gods that have no, that are no gods. Gods that haven't even existed yet. Our ancestors saw the mighty hand of God bring his chosen people out of Egypt. 40 years he cared for them in the wilderness. He got them to where their relationship was stronger. No other gods or idols were found among them at the end of this 40 years. They had challenges along the way, but it's near the end of this long journey. But this song that Moses recites to them is a witness that in times of plenty, they would become complacent and forget the rock, their Savior. They will make the Lord angry because of their disobedience. Now, we study these events more of the world. Ezekiel, for example, takes us into it in depth. Pastor Sam has been discussing with us. Sometimes we wonder, why not, Lord, just start over? Remember how the Lord pleaded with Moses. I mean, Moses pleaded with the Lord not to destroy this people in the wilderness. They had already, you know, early on started falling away. And so Moses really stepped up and put this argument to the Lord. Egypt would think that God brought them out to consume them and blot them out of the face of the earth. Find this in Exodus 32. So, to ensure that other nations do not misunderstand why things are the way they are today, he relents. Those adversaries that misunderstand and taunt Israel and Christians do not discern what the end will be. Let them pursue their technologies. Let's see if their God saves them. Know this is trustworthy when he says, "Rejoice, you nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies and make atonement for his land and his people." We are his people. This is how the song ends. When Yeshua lamented over Israel, said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wing, but you are not willing." Where are we today? Soften our hearts. Soften my heart. That's what I pray. And let him gather us together. It is not a futile thing for us because it is life. For Moses, this was the end of his days. He's 120 years old now. Moses' journey and choices along the way prevented him from entering the land given to Israel. If you recall, the Lord had said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." So, what Moses did allow was for Moses to gaze upon the land from Mount Nebo. This is Mount Nebo right over here. So, at 120 years old, he climbed this mountain. It took us a good 10 minutes to drive up there. So, this was where Moses was allowed to view the land. As you can see, it's quite hazy there now. It seems like everything settles into this valley. But you have this plaque here that points in the directions of the different cities and areas that he was able to gaze. I'm sure that the Lord provided a beautiful day for Moses to see all the way across to the Mediterranean Sea and see all this clearly. And the picture isn't too good, but when you're there, you can actually see quite a bit of this area. So, in the Dead Sea, so this is kind of what it looked like there. That's Moses' journey, 40 years. He was a prophet, and before God, he took the people through and taught them for 40 years. We have our journeys that we also think about. Think about how many, the 400 years of slavery and how many generations knew that some Savior was going to come along, that Moses would eventually come and take the people out. But many generations didn't have that privilege of experiencing that. we're expecting the return of Messiah. And sometimes we get impatient. Lord, please come. But it's his time. Nobody knows when he's going to return. Be patient with it. We just perhaps are another generation along the way, but continue in that. Because Moses, ultimately, if you recall, he did end up meeting with Jesus on the other side of the Jordan. So be patient. Do the Lord's will here. Now, I received an email before I left. The email had this in there. I always tell folks to go to the east gate outside the city, face it, and pick up one of the ones that didn't cry out. This reminded me of Jesus' victorious entry into Jerusalem. And the crowd was really loud. And they were saying, "Can't you calm this crowd down?" And Jesus said, "Even if I quieted them down, the rocks would cry out." So, this is a model, and this is a beautiful model here in the museum in Jerusalem. This shows how the temple was during Jesus' time. And this gate here is, it could be this gate. It's hard to tell because they have this dome in the way, so I can't really tell where the temple is supposed to be. But anyways, this would be Golden Gate here. So what I did was I went to the east gate, faced it, and this was there. Now, all around it is concrete chunks, but this was what was there in front of me. And I thought, this is heavy. You know, how am I going to carry this back, right, in my backpack? But I looked around, and there were smaller rocks, and, you know, and I'm, no, this one was in front of the gate. So it's hard to tell what the journey was, if this rock could actually cry out, and what it would tell us. But I know from the gate that it went past the tomb of David. It went to the place where the Last Supper was held. It went over to the Church of the Sepulchre, and then around through Israel, Tel Aviv, and back through customs here. They didn't even ask me about it. And so the journey is not quite complete, because I'd like to pass this on to the one that asked me about it. Mike, please enjoy. This is actually the rock that, when I looked up at the wall, I'm going, this is the kind of rock the walls were made out of. So, heavy, isn't it? It really weighed me down. So, thank you for that. And it was wonderful because the Lord guided our paths amazingly. It was amazing, the roads that we traveled. So I'm looking forward to sharing this with you in a couple of weeks. Shabbat Shalom.